Hi friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Well Then podcast, a show where we talk about all things physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being so that you can live your most vibrant and love-filled life. Which, by the way, if you haven't gathered, I believe is kind of the point, filling our lives with more love, more joy, more connection. I'm your host, Megan Scherer, and today's episode is a really special interview with a friend and colleague and peer and mentor of mine, somebody that I admire and look up to so much and have learned so much from, and I'm really excited for you to get to hear from because she is an expert in the realm of our bodies and healing. And really helping us to understand our bodies better. So this episode is falling right in the middle of my series about healing from chronic illness. I've had some guest experts coming on about talking about different approaches to healing from chronic illness. I've been talking about my own journey in getting diagnosed with chronic Lyme disease and autoimmune disease and what it looked like to heal from those conditions, things that I was told I would possibly live with to have to manage for the rest of my life. And my guest today, Catherine Hausch, is somebody who had that same experience being given diagnoses and labels and conditions and things that she thought she'd have to manage for the rest of her life. And she learned a new approach and a new way to relate to her body that allowed her to get rid of the fear and access more healing. So you're going to hear a lot of really incredible perspectives today that might be very new for you. And we do acknowledge that a lot of this conversation will be maybe a bit of a paradigm shift that's different than how you've learned to relate to your body and healing in the past. But just so you can get to know her background a little bit more, Catherine is a board certified nurse coach, a German new medicine consultant, and a somatic practitioner. And she helps women with chronic symptoms learn to listen to their bodies with love, reconnect to their authentic selves, and return to a sense of wholeness without obsessing about symptoms and supplements, which is so huge because any of you who have struggled with any sort of chronic symptoms before have probably been in that place of obsession, which we do talk about in this episode, like obsessing over every little thing that you eat and everywhere you go and everything you do and feeling this like hypervigilance of needing to monitor your life and your body so that you avoid pain, but then you're still kind of experiencing the symptoms anyways, and it feels like nothing's working. So we talk about that and really understanding, having a deeper understanding of the way that your body interprets challenges and conflicts in your environment and how we can heal somatically. This conversation is gold. You might want to get out your journal and take notes. There's a lot of really wonderful takeaways here, and hopefully we can have Catherine back in the future. If you're curious about learning more about her and her work, we share at the end where you can find her. She's the creator of some really wonderful programs, and we'll link her information in the show notes below. With that, let's dive into this very exciting conversation. All right. Welcome to the show, Catherine. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Honestly, I've really been looking forward to this conversation for many reasons, one of which just being because I admire the work that you do, and then also having had the opportunity to learn from you, I think that these kind of conversations are something that should be much more widely accessible. And I think that people really need to have access to the tools to have a better relationship to speak the language of their bodies. I think so many of us spend so much time kind of lost and frustrated and in confusion about what our bodies are doing and why. And I know that was certainly the case for me for so many years. And when I was in the realm of kind of recovering from and healing from some debilitating symptoms of chronic illness, and for a long time prior to that, was not getting anywhere and didn't have a lot of answers, and then came across the realm of GNM and started getting curious about that and applying it to my own healing journey, I just found it to be not only fascinating, but also kind of like this breath of fresh air of like, oh my gosh, it makes sense. My body makes sense, and it's not like the enemy, right? Like all this time, I thought it's me against my body, and actually we've been on the same team. I just didn't know it. And then when I discovered you and the way that you teach a lot of these tools and principles, it made it even more digestible and like just practical, applicable for everyday life. So very excited. I was excited to be able to learn from you, but I'm excited for the people in my community to be able to learn from you as well. So thank you for being here.
I love the way you just described it. I was like, oh, I want to write that
You can take the recording.
That's great.
So before we kind of dive into, I think a lot of people here might be new to the realm of German New Medicine and just new to the realm of learning to relate to their body and symptoms and illness in this way. But I know that for both you and me and a lot of people who end up on this journey, it kind of comes from a place of necessity of our own healing first and having to figure out like what the hell is going on with me and this, I cannot live like this. There has to be another way. So tell me a little bit about your background and your story and what led you into this work.
Yeah, it's funny because even before I was ever diagnosed with anything as a child, I was what you would call a hypochondriac. And any signal from my body, I was like, I'm dying. That's all this can be. Death is imminent. So grow up to then be diagnosed with an autoimmune disease at 18, which I was, and it's like all my worst fears are confirmed. They're coming true. And then I went on to nursing school to become a registered nurse. So I just learned more of what could go wrong with the body. And I was really steeped in that idea of it's broken and we need to fix it with medication or surgery. And at the same time, I had a very open-minded mother. She came from a family of conventional physicians, but she was always kind of the outlier. And she was really into holistic and alternative and natural medicine. And so I had that side of my brain going to thinking like maybe there's a better way to heal than just immunosuppressants and corticosteroids to reduce the inflammation because my body's attacking me. Like you said, I just didn't, that didn't feel good. It's like I don't want to live the rest of my life in a war zone in my own body. So I started to go down the path of looking at nutrition. I looked at stress management and I had pretty good results with those initially because I realize now just turning attention to the body and giving it care can resolve a lot of conflicts. And I'll explain what I mean by conflicts in a minute. But then I went through some traumatic experiences in my late 20s and all my autoimmune diagnoses flared back up along with new ones of, I had ulcerative colitis, Addison's disease, POTS, PTSD, mast cell disorder, and I was just really in a rough spot. And I stumbled on German New Medicine, which is this scientific discovery by a German physician, Dr. Hammer, in the late 1900s. And he started recognizing these patterns between different tissues in the body undergoing changes in adaptation in response to a perceived threat or what we call a biological conflict. It's not so much like psychological, emotional, general stress, but a very specific kind of threat causes the body, excuse me, to go into a survival mode where it actually adapts. And so suddenly, like you said, it's like things made sense. I knew why my colon lining was ulcerating and then healing. I knew why my adrenals were shutting down cortisol production. I knew why my heart rate was increasing rapidly when I stood up. I knew why I was breaking out in hives when I ate certain foods. And so that was the shift I needed to really dissolve the fear and health anxiety, to become really curious and like start listening to my body that these are messages with a purpose. There's not trying to hurt me. It's not going haywire. It's not broken. It's not even environmentally caused. And there's a component there, which is another topic, but it's not the cause. It's not the re I don't have to be so scared of everything all the time. And that was really empowering for me.
Yeah, that in and of itself, I think, is so liberating because, I'm sure there are so many people who can relate to that piece of your story of feeling like every time you feel a symptom, we go straight to worst case scenario. And Google doesn't help, WebMD doesn't help having access to like all the ways things could go wrong. And that's, for those of us who aren't medical professionals like yourself, who've been trained on here's all the things that could go wrong in your body. And I definitely lived with that for a long time because you get the fear of, oh no, if this gets worse or if this symptom happens, then I can't live my life in the way that I want to. I don't feel good. And then therefore, I don't have access to doing the things I want to do and feeling the way that I want to feel. And I felt like that for so many years that I was just sort of like in this cycle of feeling like imprisoned. to my symptoms. I'd try so hard to take care of my health, and then a flare up would come out of nowhere, and I would feel like I'm doing everything right. Like I can't control this. And when I finally got to the point where I got that litany of diagnoses for me, which was Lyme disease and co-infections and POTS and mast cell activation syndrome and so many other things, there was that moment of panic and fear of like, oh my God, because I've seen other people struggle with these symptoms for their whole life. And this sort of being like not a death sentence, but like a you're living a lesser life because of this sort of sentence. And then I had that moment just like you, where I was like, but that doesn't feel quite right. Like these doctors telling me that I have to get on a year's worth of antibiotics and that won't actually change much and I won't actually get better and I just have to learn to deal with this. Like that doesn't feel quite right. There has to be more to the story than that. And I had that same experience of when I learned about GNM, realizing like I don't have to be afraid of my body anymore. I don't have to be afraid of symptoms. I don't have to be afraid of pain either. And I'm sure we can get into that a little bit because it's one of the things I love you teach that you teach in your methodology is like really learning to retrain your brain's relationship to pain and not fearing it anymore, and almost even like building more of this like welcoming relationship with it, where we get to be curious and learn from it. So that piece alone, for anybody who's listening who can really relate to having a lot of fear and anxiety around your health and your body and your symptoms, and like, oh my God, I have to eat the perfect diet, otherwise I'll get a symptom or I can't go anywhere. My routine got really rigid and limited for a long time because I was afraid of like living life and stepping on, a bomb and setting off a symptom again. So before we even get into some of the technicalities, I hope that people are who are listening who feel that can get a sense of hopefulness that like, oh, it doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah, definitely. It's true when you said the rigidity that comes when we are looking to our protocols and our tools to heal us. And then we become very afraid that if we slip from those in any direction, we're going to be back in a full flare up versus understanding the biology, the physiology of how the body actually works, and leaning into that, not resisting it, because most of the pain comes from the resistance to what is.
Which I feel like a lot of people who get diagnosed with any sort of chronic illness and people who end up in the kind of health and wellness world in general, it's this easy trap to fall into where, like you talked about when you initially started kind of caring for yourself and learning about holistic health and like eating in certain ways and taking care of your body, that can resolve symptoms just because you're kind of caring for yourself in a different way. But then we can go down the rabbit hole of now we're being overly vigilant to like the toxins in everything and the pans that we use and the air that we breathe, the water that we drink. And while it's great to be aware and mindful of how certain things can impact our body, I think that a lot of people kind of course correct in the other direction. And I certainly did, where you just get this kind of anxious and over obsessive relationship with the ingredients in everything you're eating and what you're doing in your schedule and how you're spending your time, and you kind of rebound the other direction, which certainly isn't helpful either. And then
Yeah,
you're afraid of living life.
It's interesting because the science of German New Medicine even like confirms this on diagnostic tests and CT scans, that a lot of people who receive a shocking diagnosis, like you were saying, you're told you have Lyme, it's incurable, you're gonna have the rest of your life, and the only thing to do is manage symptoms with these heavy drugs. It actually sets off in the psyche a biological conflict that is related to feeling isolated, like your very existence is threatened, that your life is in danger. And this creates a cascade of secondary problems that make you so much sicker and so much worse than whatever the original symptom is. that you didn't understand. And so in the work I do with clients, we always address that fear-based conflict first, because until we resolve that, it's hard to move the needle on anything else. So a lot of room for improvement in how conventional diagnoses are delivered to the patient.
Yeah, I feel like most of my experience with kind of like traditional Western medicine is this very clinical, like no feelings or compassion or awareness involved. You just get delivered a diagnosis and then it's like, figure it out yourself.
And then you go into all the chat rooms on Facebook, and that's where all the horror stories are.
Yeah,
And
stay
you're
away
just,
from those.
oh, it's the worst thing you can do for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, at all costs, stay away from all the people with their own horror stories, because it's easy to buy into that. But it's, I think, also easy if you create the space to buy into hopefulness and the stories of people who heal and resolve symptoms that were supposed to be lifelong.
It was my husband that told me this, like when I was in my lowest low, it was before we were married. I was saying, you shouldn't marry me because I'm, look how sick I am. I'm never going to get better. He, in his wisdom, said, Catherine, don't go to the Facebook groups. That's where people are sick and scared. Find the people who had your diagnosis and have healed, because they're the ones that can tell you how to get better, and they're not hanging out in those spaces. And I was like, oh, so logical.
Brilliant. So, okay, before we get further into that, can we kind of lay the foundation of what German New Medicine is? Because I know for a lot of people, for me initially at least, it's a total paradigm shift in the ways that we've learned to relate to our bodies and illness and contagion and like all the things that we think could go wrong with our bodies when we're experiencing symptoms. So for somebody who's brand new, has no idea what German New Medicine is, how would you explain it?
So I think what's helpful is to first explain what it isn't. And it's not the general mind-body medicine that says stress and emotions cause the body to break down and get sick, because that's still a paradigm that's saying something goes wrong. This is a science that describes what happens when your psyche, your subconscious mind, your physical brain tissue in your head, and the organ tissues in your bodies all work together as a singular self-healing unit, that the body is designed to heal itself, to come up against conflicts, threats, whether perceived or real, and adjust itself and its functioning to make us stronger, more capable, better able to handle that threat. And then when that threat passes, the body sets itself back to normal homeostasis, and there's a healing process that we go through. Now, when this process is not understood, it looks like at times pain, fatigue, inflammation, rashes, anxiety, constipation, diarrhea, and we start thinking something's wrong because we don't understand the tissue changes that are very calculated and very precise, and nothing is going haywire. So German New Medicine, the physician, Dr. Hammer, he worked in oncology. So he had a lot of knowledge about cell division, replication, and he would look at these things in detail and saw a framework in understanding exactly which tissue was being affected when and why. That's my nerdy geeking out answer. There's simpler ways to explain it too. How does that land?
Yeah, I think that's a really great place to start. And the way that like I've tried, correct me if this is totally off base, but the way that I've tried to explain it to people who don't want to get into like the science of it, they just kind of want to understand like practically how does this relate to me and my body is, and again, you're going to expand on this for me, but like when you get a cut and it starts to, you know, get really red and swollen and inflamed because all of the blood cells are rushing to that area to heal that wound. Like your body knows how to do that. It's doing that. And like the symptoms you feel are that heat and that inflammation, and it's like maybe throbbing and a little bit painful, but those are actually symptoms that it's healing and doing its job. Like your body's doing what it's designed to do. And yeah, it might be uncomfortable and painful, but the thing is getting resolved. The wound is healing. And that a lot of our other symptoms that we experience, it's similar, like all the ones you just listed, the fatigue and the migraines and the rashes and the diarrhea and constipation, all of that is like your body resolving some conflict or quote unquote wound that maybe we're just not aware of. And it's not, like you said, that something's going wrong and breaking down. Is that a good analogy?
Exactly. It's a great reset in the body is what's happening. And I can use the example of my ulcerative colitis because I feel like it's really clear. You know, when you are faced with the conflict, specifically one that has a theme of being indigestible or like, this is hard to process and I can't really assimilate this. I'm resisting it in some way, which exactly explains the trauma I went through as a teenager. And then when my circumstances shifted and I no longer felt that threat or that resistance, my body needed to heal. Now, during the threat, my colon lining was increasing cells to increase the surface area. You have to think biologically, right? Increasing the surface area, secretions, things like that to help me digest with more surface area. Now, I didn't actually need that, but my body was perceiving that I did. And then when I no longer needed extra help to digest the situation in life, those extra cells had to be removed somehow. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Hammer's theories show that what we call infection is actually often a healing process, that microbes assist the body in breaking down and removing those cells. And when those cells are coming out, it looks like diarrhea and pus and there's ulceration and bleeding, but it's intentional to remove those cells. And eventually, that healing resolves and you go back to normal functioning. So that's what happened to me.
Yeah. And so that process, the breaking down process, is kind of like, you know, when fall comes around and there's all these like extra leaves on the ground, like microbes are literally breaking them down to, you know, to make use of them and discard them in the way that nature intended. And our bodies are kind of designed in the same way.
Exactly. It's all very harmonious. That's what I love about it.
I love that too. And it, for me, it just like resonates as so much truth, but I know that for a lot of people, again, it's such a paradigm shift of like, what do you mean there's not infection? Like that's all we've ever been taught is like avoid germs and wash your hands and like, you know, all the things that we're supposed to do to be careful, to avoid getting sick, to avoid getting symptoms. So how do you, I guess, help people start to wrap their minds around this particular science and this way of understanding the body when it's so radically different than what we learn?
Yeah, I think what's so deeply ingrained in us, especially in a more Western culture, is we like control and predictability. It's a very masculine sort of system that we live in where, you know, you rise with the sun, you set with the sun, and you have the same energy every day. You produce over and over and over again. And so anything that interrupts that is an inconvenience and something to be controlled with medication or surgically just remove it. And the type of women that I work with, and I'm sure that you work with as well, know instinctively that isn't a natural rhythm to life. There's no ebb and flow there. There's no room for gray areas. It's too black and white. And so I find a lot of people already know intuitively that something's off with the way conventional medicine approaches healing. And when they start learning German New Medicine, the light bulbs start clicking immediately because it aligns with what they've always known to be true about. Like you said, the seasons, how my body heals a sprained ankle or a cut. Mm-hmm. And most people that are looking for answers like this are able to accept the paradigm shift somewhat easily. Still, none of us likes pain. None of us likes having diarrhea. None of us likes skin rashes. But the fact that the fear goes away, that's what people focus on as the initial benefit of accepting this paradigm shift.
Yeah. And I feel like one thing that's helpful for most people, at least for me, was it's easier for the fear to dissolve when you learn this sort of paradigm and this way of understanding the body, when you also know that that means that there is going to be a resolution. When so many people have lived in what I'm sure you'll talk about, that like hanging healing phase where it's just illness and sickness and pain for an indefinite period of time, or it seems like it's never going to end. And that's maybe a lot harder to accept. Like, I can't accept this symptom if I know it's going to be here forever, but I can accept it if I know it's going to resolve. So
it's like, right? There's a baby at the end of this. I can put up with the pain.
Like the light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what about the category of people who are dealing with the same symptoms for a long period of time?
Great question. Yeah. So lots of people in the world never learn about Germany medicine, never need to, and they just have conflicts and resolve them. And they have a little cold here, or a little stomach bug there where they're vomiting, and they don't think about it beyond that.
Yeah.
What happens for people who start looking for the answers that GNM has is, it, like me, I had ulcerative colitis for 15 years, a flare up after flare up after flare up, a hospitalization, hospitalization. And so it would be normal to say, well, it doesn't sound like you're healing, Catherine. Like, it sounds like you're sick, on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And in those cases, what happens is the initial conflict that we have gets stuck in, like you said, a hanging healing where we just linger in or cycle through the healing phase that never gets completely resolved because we keep stepping on tracks and triggers, or we keep repeating the same subconscious patterns and relationships or thoughts that are keeping us stuck in that conflict activity. And that was absolutely true for me. My initial conflict was indigestible, sense of injustice, being treated unfairly, experiencing someone's anger directed at me. And I kept ending up in jobs or relationships where I just lived that out over and over again. And that's where the idea of this whole self-revolution was born. Cause I was like, something has to change inside. I have to do an overhaul with how I'm doing life, or I'm going to continue in this cycle.
Yeah. So it's not just awareness of like the pattern and where the symptom comes from, but being able to take accountability for what's my role in perpetuating this, and how do I get to be able to resolve that particular core pattern or theme or conflict.
Exactly. And that's the part that's simple, but it takes consistency and a bit of discipline, which, you know, yeah, I'm still working on lots of those tracks myself as well.
Right. It's like you set a boundary once. Great. But if you keep ending up in relationships with unhealthy people, and you keep letting people cross your boundaries, like, you're going to keep experiencing that problem over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So to make this like even more, I guess, tangible, I love taking things that sometimes maybe feel big and hard to grasp, and having people be able to relate to them personally. So anybody who's been listening so far who can maybe relate to having experienced digestive issues or ulcerative colitis can probably start to think and map like maybe places in their life where their story sounds similar to yours. What are some of the other common symptoms that you see, and then the conflicts that they typically map onto?
So in addition to digestive conflicts, I see a lot of self-devaluation, which is that low sense of self-worth that leads to things like fibromyalgia, chronic pain, muscle tension, twitches, aches, joint pain, inflammation. I see a lot of thyroid symptoms, either hypothyroid related to feeling like you can't keep up in life. So a lot of type A perfectionists who are trying to overachieve in every area of their life go on. Initially, they'll have hyperthyroidism, and then in the healing phase, they might have reduced thyroid function. I see a lot of Hashimoto's, which is a different thyroid conflict that relates to a sense of powerlessness or fear. This can often go hand in hand with chronic migraines. It comes from a place. Again, this is not like a blanket statement, but a lot of times there was some sort of abuse or boundary violations early in life that taught these individuals that I don't really have a say, I can't speak up, I have to stay small, not protect myself, and they carry that into adulthood. I see a lot of women's health and reproductive issues that can be, again, related to past abuse or trauma, but even just emotional abuse where the degradation was surrounding the fact that, you know, you're just a woman can affect our uterus. And so we're having these painful and irregular periods or infertility. A lot of
ovarian issues, endometriosis. Endometriosis from a GYN perspective is related to like an overgrowth of ovarian tissue. So there's a profound loss conflict. It could be a traumatic breakup, perhaps a loss of a baby or a miscarriage, someone that you love. Like it's endless, the list of possibilities, but the specificity of which part of the body is affected is amazing and consistent.
Yeah, that's what's so fascinating. Like, if you're, I'm sure, working with somebody and learning about their life history and their health history, you can almost like map to the moment. Oh, this thing happened, and then your symptoms started, and like there's such a strong correlation between the two. Yeah. And something you mentioned earlier that I'd love to dig into a little bit more is this idea that, the kind of mind body psychosomatic realm of medicine, where like stress and worry and overwhelm causes illness, and that sort of the belief that like negative emotions are what cause your symptoms in general, versus the realm of German New Medicine, which is saying no, it's actually very specific biological conflicts. But there's still an element of like personal perception in that. It's like how your psyche perceived a certain experience will dictate or determine the conflict involved and the tissues that are involved. So using an example like self-devaluation, you mentioned, where you might be experiencing chronic pain or fibromyalgia, arthritis, things like that. What would be the difference between like, oh, I'm somebody who just has low self-worth and like I don't speak very kindly to myself, versus a conflict around self-devaluation that was, shocking and isolating and resulted in symptoms.
Yeah, so you just brought up a good point there. There are three criteria for something that registers in the psyche as an actual conflict. And it has to be distressing, unexpected, and we feel unsupported or unprepared for it. And so, to be honest, there are many people out there who may have a narrative of self-devaluation, but they have an identity and community around that that's very reinforced, and it almost feels good. It's not necessarily a shameful, isolating experience for them. Whereas someone who experiences self-esteem as, at my core, I am not good enough. I'm not deserving of love. I'm not deserving of health. That can register on the psyche as an actual conflict that creates visible changes in the brain. And interestingly, a person may not feel symptomatic during that period of time. It's actually when they go on to start building self-esteem and feeling better about themselves that the conflict goes into resolution, the musculoskeletal tissues start healing, and that's when the pain and inflammation is present. So, in a way, it's a sign of growth to have
To have the
symptoms.
symptoms, to be like,
The
okay,
symptoms.
something's resolving now. And in that example that you gave, where there's that core feeling of I'm not enough, I'm not deserving of the things I want in life or of connection, of love, does it have to be like, can it just be those thoughts that sort of compile over time? Maybe they're based on life experiences or not, or does it have to be there was this moment in time where someone said something or I lost out on an opportunity, like something happened that made me feel that way? Does that question makes sense.
Yes, if there with a biological conflict, there is always, whether we remember consciously or not, a distinct moment in time where it shocked the subconscious, where we were not resourced to deal with this situation. That maybe if the circumstances had been different, we would have perceived it differently, but that set off the conflict for sure. Yeah. Versus, like I said, if I just grow up in a family where we all talk badly about ourselves, but we laugh about it and we have community and love around our self-deprecation, it's different than someone who is caught off guard by the experience of being devalued and so.
Right. Okay. So in
Right.
that family where
That
maybe
family
we're
where
all critical of ourselves and our weight and our bodies and like we're all dumb, whatever, we kind of have that sense of bonding over, I feel included in this family by being hard on myself. So that's not necessarily like a shocking, isolating conflict.
And not to say that somebody in that family system couldn't be shocked by that. But I'm just illustrating that just growing up around that doesn't guarantee that you actually have a conflict associated
Got it. With it. Okay. And so now, what if you get into the realm of this work and you're kind of just trying to discover for yourself and correlate what are the things that have happened in my life and the symptoms that I've been experiencing over time? And you kind of get to this place where you're not really able to identify, like maybe something happened when you were five and 5 year old you was shocked and caught off guard, but you have no recollection of that thing. How do you go about resolving if you can't pinpoint what the original conflict was?
So the main tool or modality that I use in conjunction with GNM is somatic inquiry, a somatic coaching style, where if we experience some sort of trauma or conflict shock before we had the words to articulate it or before we were retaining memories consciously, the body always knows, the body always remembers. And so we may think, I have this all the time where people are like, I resolved that conflict with my boss. Like, I don't have any issues going into work. It's fine. It's good. I don't know why I still have digestive issues, but we'll go through a somatic inquiry process and they'll be like, oh, every time I step foot into my office building, like my gut clenches. And so that tells me it isn't resolved, which I already knew because we have this hanging healing of symptoms. But now we understand the exact moment that's a trigger for you is just stepping into this. Now, again, back to the original conflict happening like earlier in life, it can just be that slight shift I get when I go to a certain location or talk to a certain person or hear a certain comment about my appearance. And that tells me what I need to know by how my body responds to it.
Mm-hmm. And so then you go into that particular response and you begin to work with the body somatically rather than needing to pinpoint like an exact memory or moment in time.
Exactly. I say that GNM is like a map and somatic inquiry is like the compass. And we're matching what you're feeling, what you're experiencing, what your symptoms are saying with the map that Dr. Hahn created.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's honestly when so much of, even before I really got this knowledge, when so much of my symptoms started to resolve was when I started listening to my body a lot better rather than fighting it and trying to suppress the symptoms and make the pain go away and like pretend I'm fine and have it all together and be like, no, I'm over that. I'm totally over that. When I instead was like, no, I'm not. Like I don't feel good in my body and this, that I feel that tightness in my chest or the clenching in my belly. Like that's when things started to resolve and soften a little bit more.
Amazing. It's so intuitive, right?
Yeah. Okay. And I love that you use that word intuitive because I think that's one of the things I find most fascinating about GNM is how literal some of the conflicts are. So like the idea of a stink conflict, for example, can you talk just a little bit about that, how you could like perceive something that's like, oh, this stinks, and then the symptoms that result from that?
Yeah, it's like, I think of three different categories of stink conflicts that I see at least. One is like literally there's an offending smell. It's like, oh, my neighbors are doing something and it's wafting in here, or my dog peed on the carpet and that smell is terrible. And then I wake up the next day with the sniffles or a runny nose because my membranes were offended. But then there can be a stink conflict of like, this situation didn't happen the way I wanted. Like I wanted it to be different. We go into the same resolution. Think why so many toddlers have runny noses, because everything stinks. Nothing's ever your way. And that's my toy and he took it, right? And then there's a third stink conflict. And this is what I see most often in people who have like chronic post-nasal drips and sinus issues is they were in a situation where it felt unsafe. They felt threatened by like a quote predator. And their nose has become hypersensitive to like the scent of the predator. Mm-hmm. And then when they go into feeling safe and resolution, they'll have runny nose type symptoms. So those are the three I see. But yeah, it's so literal and also so much room for interpretation.
Yeah. And when you layer in that intuitive element of like what feels true in my body and how do I perceive this? I just find it to be so fascinating because most people are like, oh, I have a cold. That sucks. I'll take cold medicine, whatever, and just deal with the symptoms rather than thinking, oh, I wonder why I'm having these symptoms right now. Like what's gone on in my recent past in the last few days or so that might have led to this particular symptom. I feel like that helps kind of that resolve that fear aspect we were talking about before too, of not feeling like out of control, but just being more of in a symbiotic relationship with your body. Yeah. Another thing I've been thinking about a lot lately that I'd be curious to hear you share about, because I think this is really fascinating too, is obviously a lot of the things we're talking about are symptoms that result when there was a conflict. And we didn't talk about this yet, but like some symptoms appear in that conflict active phase, and then some appear once it's actually begun to heal. But things that are more of like an external or overt, like physical trauma, are maybe not something that you'd apply GNM knowledge to. But one thing I was reading about and getting curious about for myself is like the idea of like a physical injury, let's say, like you pull a muscle or sprain an ankle or something like that. And there was an event that made that happen. Like you fell down the stairs, or you were on a hike and something happens. But that there's that question of why was that part of your body maybe a little bit weaker and predisposed to getting injured? Yes, the thing happened. Were you injured it? We're not going to like pretend it didn't happen and pretend it's all in your head. But why is that part of your body susceptible to that? That's something I'm so curious to explore more. I've been dealing with a little bit of like a physical injury myself right now. And so I've been exploring like, okay, why was I set up for this particular thing to happen?
Yeah. So this is fascinating. With the program, the special biological program that runs in the musculoskeletal system, so you know, your bones, muscles, ligaments, connective tissue. During a conflict active phase, there's actually a weakening of those structures with the biological purpose that in the resolution, I will strengthen those structures. Because if we know, for example, how the skeleton works, it's constantly removing cells and then building them back stronger and then removing cells. This is how a broken bone heals itself. So if we are in a state of self-devaluation, connected to some specific part of the body, we are more susceptible to injure that part. It's the reason why I could fall down the steps when I don't have a self-devaluation injury, and I mean self-devaluation conflict, and not have any injury. I might get bruised up, but like my bones stay intact. Or like me, I had a self-devaluation conflict 2 years ago, and I got the worst sprain of my life, literally just rolling off a 1-inch curb, because that part of my body was weakened, and it just took the slightest little step. My whole body rolled with it and the thing was swollen for weeks, but I knew exactly what the self-devaluation was at that time. So if there's a part of your body that you've broken multiple times or constantly is getting pulled or inflamed in that cycle, it could be a hanging healing or a repeat conflict of self-devaluation. And it helps to identify what that is to resolve it and heal that injury fully.
I love that example you gave, because I've certainly heard so many stories of somebody being like, yeah, I just got out of bed weird and then I got super injured. And then other people, like my brother has been hit by a car so many times and will come out of it just like a little bruised. And exactly. It's so wild to me how some people can get hurt so easily and then others seem a little bit more bulletproof, and that helps it make more sense. Mm-hmm. And so when you said that ankle roll that you had, or was it an ankle roll? Or injury? Yeah. Okay. That you were aware of the self-devaluation at the time. Were you aware of it prior to falling off the curb and then that happened? Or afterwards were you like, oh, I see what's going on here?
It was a very profound conflict in my life at the time, just interpersonally, something that was happening in my family that was literally a shaming experience on me. Mm-hmm. So I knew it had to be affecting me somehow. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I rolled that ankle, I'm like, oh, that's how. Because I feel like I can't run away from these people mm-hmm. that are actively shaming me. And it was like left ankle, mother-related side of the body. It wasn't my mother, but you know, just like in that moment, I'm like, ah, that's where it is hitting me.
Yeah. Okay. That makes so much sense. So, and I love that, again, talking about like some of the literal parallels that go on, each of the different body parts correlate to possible different conflicts and with who, and like there's so much nuance and there's a lot to it. It's a lot to take in. But when you do have that understanding, then you can map onto like, oh, that makes sense. This part of my body would respond in that particular way.
Exactly. Yeah.
Does that change what the healing process is like? Like, did it, how long did it take your ankle to recover and feel better?
So because I understood what was happening, that my body was trying to heal itself, it's like I knew all I could do was rest it. Mm. All I could do is continue using my tools to resolve the active conflict and just stay off my foot. And now I do have some lingering issues, which interestingly only flare up when triggers related to the conflict flare up. Mm. I'll get like this spasm in that foot that just tells me something's going on there again. But yeah. So I don't know. It's not necessarily that it heals up, heals faster, but I do less to resist the healing process while it's happening.
Mm. I love that. You're not like fighting it. You're just letting mm-hmm. your body do what it's designed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what about, okay, there's so many places I want to take this conversation.
I know, we can have
so much knowledge. Yeah, I know. I'm already thinking like I need to have her back. There's so many like layers to this I want to dig into. So thank you for like being on the same page with me about excitement and geeking out on all this. I know that, for example, let's say you have a diagnosis like Lyme disease, which in and of itself, like on the surface is like, oh, I got bit by a tick and so I have Lyme disease. But what that actually looks like for different people is this like massive cluster of all kinds of different symptoms. And it's not the same person to person. Like it might be fatigue and joint pain and brain fog and migraines, but it also might be like rashes and POTS and dizziness and so many different things. And so in GNM, it's not about like, oh, what's the conflict that led to Lyme disease? It's we actually have to look at each individual symptom and the kind of like clusters of multiple conflicts that could have led to all these things, which I would love to get into. And while we're still on the topic of like injuries and self-devaluation and that part, those parts of the body, would the same be true if multiple like muscle groups are involved? So just as an example, the injury that I mentioned I've been navigating right now is both my hip and hamstring muscles and like surrounding muscles are all involved. So that does that mean that there are like multiple conflicts or mm-hmm. okay.
Or it can be multiple perceptions of the same conflict or same event or situation.
Okay, right. Okay. So one thing can happen. Can you explain that a little bit more? Like one thing happens.
Yeah. So, you know, take for example, the situation with me and family. Mm-hmm. And I'm like trying not to give away details or call things out, but you know, the body speaks and it says what it wants to say. Yeah. But in GNM, if you're right-handed, your left side is mother related. So I had that weakness in my ankle related to feeling like I couldn't get away. But I also developed a constriction in my neck on the left side, all related to the same ongoing situation, but this was an intellectual self-devaluation conflict related to my mother, extended family, et cetera. That was like the reasons I was being shamed was like, I was not smart enough and I was not good enough. So it was registering in my cervical area as well as my ankle, but it was all related to the same thing. Mm-hmm. So with you, hip and hamstring, we would be decoding like, how is the conflict being perceived in multiple different flavors or shades of self-devaluation.
Got it. That makes sense. Okay. So it's like it impacts you in different ways, but because it's affecting the same types of tissue, like in this case, muscle groups, you know, it's the same type of conflict. Mm-hmm. And so probably the same thing.
And honestly, do you want to touch on Lyme for a minute? Because that's the perfect example.
Yeah. Of like so many different. Yeah.
Exactly. And like, I just, for anybody listening, when I tell stories, they're meant as illustrations. I'm not diagnosing anyone or saying like, this is the trauma you've experienced, but there are patterns.
Yeah.
And
this particular episode, I didn't even mention this to you, but is kind of a series of understanding the body in a new way as I'm sharing my own story and healing from chronic Lyme and getting to the place where I've resolved my symptoms. So I'm also more than happy to like use what I've experienced as a case study, if that's helpful for you.
Yeah. So I would be curious how it resonates with you, since that's something you've experienced yourself 90% of the time. I want to say 99, but again, like, not calling anyone out. I see Lyme diagnoses when someone has left a traumatic relationship, usually with narcissistic personality traits, either a parent or a romantic partner, because the typical symptoms associated with Lyme disease are all relational symptoms of self-devaluation, severe separation. The nerve pain is a brutal separation conflict. The bone pain is the self-devaluation. The migraines are that powerlessness, that fear, that brain fog, and the whole body has just been holding it together, adapting, adapting, adapting to survive this situation in relationship with someone else. And as soon as they leave, intense resolution and healing takes place throughout the body. And these are the women that I see who were like going, 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 going. Then they leave, they end up in a really secure relationship and they get sick and bedridden for 10 years because they feel safe enough to heal. Again, not everybody, but that's the majority of what I see.
Yeah. So mapping that onto my experience, I absolutely have a history of toxic relationships in many forms throughout my teens and 20s. And that I really resonate with what you said about that, like holding it together. Like so much of my 20s was really centered around me trying to hold it together and just being nonstop busy and going 24/7 and distracting myself with whether it was work or new relationships or like whatever I could do to focus on or health and like trying to take care of my body and manage the symptoms. And so I'd get like these little flare-ups of symptoms, and I could probably map that on to every time a situationship or a toxic relationship would end, but was kind of just like trying to hold it all together. And when my symptoms finally got so bad to the point they were debilitating and ultimately led to a diagnosis, was when I entered into the chapter of my life of finally setting boundaries. I had decided to be intentionally single for a period of time, so there were no relationships anymore. I was cutting out unhealthy friendships and was like radically changing my relationship to all the people in my life and having so much more solitude. So it wasn't like getting into a healthy relationship with another person, but it was finally getting into a healthier relationship with myself. And that's when everything got bad. And I was like, what the hell? Aren't I supposed to be feeling better?
Exactly. And that's where the confusion, right, comes into play if you speak your body's language. That's such a beautiful example. Right on.
And it was awful and terrifying at first because I was like, this sucks. Like, I just started this whole new chapter of my life where I felt so empowered. I was like on such a high for a moment there. And then it was like crash and burn. And I like couldn't get out of bed.
And this is where, for anybody listening that starts to get afraid, because I hear this all the time, well, maybe I shouldn't resolve because of healing phase. I'm like, this is where you can use it to your advantage when you know Germany medicine and you realize I'm going to downgrade my conflicts. I'm not going to make, because I've done that too, where I'm like, I'm leaving this toxic job. I quit. And then I'm in bed for 3 months with an ulcerative colitis flare up. Whereas if I had just kind of quiet quit and backed away, I might have had like a week of some rumblings. And so, you know, we can use it to our advantage.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I had that for a period of time as well of like, oh, this knowledge feels great. But then I was like, uh-oh, the more I identify conflicts, like I'm scared now of going into symptoms because they're not fun. Like it does suck to be in pain and to be bedridden especially, but just to not feel well sucks, even if it's just a cold. And there was definitely a little bit of fear around like, oh, what if there's big conflicts I'm not aware of under the surface and I resolve those and then it leads to these really bad symptoms. And I think that, I don't know, I would love you to speak to this a little bit more, especially in the realm of somatic work, is just kind of slowly titrating and building that relationship with your body. Even if you're not consciously even thinking about conflicts or resolving them, you kind of are, like you said, downgrading them just because you're creating more spaciousness. Is that right?
Yeah. And I think there's this idea sometimes that emotional trauma release work has to be cathartic and like you dig in there and the trauma pours out of you and then you're healed. And very much Like I'm very much against that. This is why I love somatic work, is like we gently go in, and when we find a tender spot, psychologically, biologically, somatically, it's like we start just applying just a little pressure to let a little bit come out, but then it's like you back off. And this is, that's the dance, the process I like to do, is just be, I'm very holistically minded. And so we can't just be slamming people into resolutions left and right, because that is miserable. So gentle, slow, follow the body's lead. That's how I work.
Yeah. And if you are moving slowly and applying that gentle pressure, and like a big cathartic release of emotion does come forward, then that's like probably something you were ready for, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I really do trust the process, you know.
I'm curious, just because you use that analogy, would you say the same of literal physical body work, that like deep tissue isn't great because it maybe causes like too much of a release all at once and softer?
It's my personal opinion, take it or leave it. Some people love it, and maybe they have a stronger countenance, or they're more resilient than me, and in fact more power to you. But for me and the people I work with, I don't recommend that.
That's really interesting. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective before. Historically, I love getting massage and body work, and would like a lot of pressure because it feels like something's happening, like they're doing something. Right.
Yeah.
But I also, especially while I was sick, would get such a flare up of symptoms anytime I had any sort of deep tissue work. And in the kind of holistic health world, they would call that like, oh, detoxing, like you're releasing toxins and that's why you feel sick. But in the realm of GNM, is it more like resolutions that are happening on a, like on that tissue kind of biological level?
Yeah, like when you go to the gym or you get body work, you're trying to break down the tissue so that it grows back stronger. That's what happens during a self-evaluation conflict. Internally, your body breaks down its own tissue so that it can grow back stronger. But as you know, if you overwork it at the gym, you overwork it in massage therapy, or you overwork it in self-evaluation, it's just going to be too painful and intense in that healing phase. So that's why I like to go slow.
That makes so much sense. It also makes sense why, like, I don't know, I feel like, at least for me personally, maybe you can relate, my life just started flowing a lot better when I gave myself permission to just be like softer and gentler. Like in my yoga practice, I didn't need to like do the hardest pose and sweat and burn a bunch of calories. I could just like be gentle and have it feel good. And same thing with workouts. And I don't know, my body started feeling a lot better when I gave myself that permission.
Yeah, I noticed that now as well too, that like I cleared a lot of big conflicts unintentionally in the beginning of this work and had some more painful healing phases. But now I've developed this relationship and this listening with my body. So I hear the little whispers and I can respond and resolve when it's still at a whisper level. And it's just like a hiccup. It's not this put me in bed for a week or two anymore. And I just love this relationship with my body that's so much softer and gentler and slower. I think it's the way we, especially as women, are meant to live.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of like the goal, to get to that place where you can hear those whispers and they don't have to turn into screams. And then you don't have to fear that it's going to lead to those really big, painful, intense flare-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the daily practices that you use to facilitate that relationship with yourself and with your body?
Anything that helps me pause, slow down, and create space. So it starts with intention in how I schedule my week. I have to leave space on the calendar so I can have space in my day. And it's in that space that I listen. I do breath work, I do meditation and journaling, I do somatic experiencing type exercises with myself. I work with practitioners that help me tune in for some of the bigger ones, but I can't do any of that if I haven't made the space for it in my life. So that's the step one.
Yeah. Oof. I love that, because people always go into the practices first. They're like, oh, yeah, meditate and do all this. But it's like, if you don't have the space, then trying to add those in just feels like more overwhelm. And it just feels, depending on your unique flavor, I work with a lot of women who then end up in being hard on themselves because they're not doing the things they feel like they should. And yeah, just leads to more of that feeling of like overwhelm and I'm not good enough and frustration. So seeing where you can carve out that space first feels like such a good action step, a good place to begin. Yeah. There are actually probably a million more questions I want to ask you, but I feel like
for hours and hours. It's
I know.
Like, how do we tie it all together?
Yeah. I guess for people who are listening, and I know women in particular, because you mostly work with women and I mostly work with women, and women are the ones who experience the vast majority of autoimmune diseases and chronic illness symptoms, which maybe that's an episode we could do all in and of itself of why that's the case. Where would you recommend getting started in learning more about both German new medicine, but also just this new way of relating to the body and like understanding symptoms?
Yes. When it comes to German new medicine information, there are some great free resources on the internet. If you search Google, if you search Facebook groups like German new medicine discussion groups for application, the caution I give folks who are brand new is don't let yourself get overwhelmed, especially if you don't come from a medical background. There's going to be a lot of terminology that is going to go over anyone's head, and you might feel yourself getting into a state of resistance. So just, again, pause, create some space, understand that you don't need to be a German new medicine doctor to start learning how to apply it and heal. I am partial to the approach that I've created just because it's not all GNM all the time. I'd say I'm not a purist. I use it therapeutically with all the tools that you already have. If you're already having a somatic practice, meditation, mindfulness, journaling, keep doing those things. And when something comes up, like a limiting belief or a sensation in the body or an area of tension, then you might dip into a German new medicine resource or a book or a website and just sort of get an idea of what that part of the body or that emotion or that theme relates to. But then come back into the practices that you're confident with and start asking yourself questions like, how does that resonate? Does the theme of self-devaluation resonate with me? What about this feels indigestible? And just give yourself some permission to be flexible, especially in the beginning, because it's a lot. It's a medical education is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
It's intense.
It really is. Yeah. I thought I had a lot of knowledge and awareness of the body because I had a background in holistic nutrition, but even that was, you know, minimal compared to what I learned diving into this realm. And for people who maybe aren't even interested in like learning like the anatomy and physiology and science side of it, but maybe to your point, want to understand like, okay, I'm having this symptom. What are some of the themes and how does that resonate with me? And like, maybe I'm having a headache or a migraine. And I remember in that episode, Catherine said something about powerlessness. Okay. So maybe I start thinking about that and like, where have I felt powerless in my life lately? That feels like such a digestible and accessible place to start.
Yeah, it can be fun, like playing detective.
It is like playing detective, and if you can take it like more lightly and fun rather than like I have to find the answer and like get all the clues.
Honestly, German new medicine will not fix you. Like I right. tell people all the time, like it's not a secret that's going to cure you. It's how you apply it and how you integrate and embody this knowledge that will determine your healing outcomes.
Yeah, which I think is so important because when you have been suffering a long time, there can be both like hopelessness of nothing's worked and then hopefulness of like, oh, if I find this one solution, maybe that's the thing I haven't uncovered yet and then it'll fix me. But it is kind of like you said before, it's like the map. It's not actually like the magic bullet. It's just going to help point you in the right direction of doing your own healing. Yeah, I love that. Where can people follow what you're up to and the work that you're doing and Whole Self Revolution and all the things?
Yeah. So my website stays the same. It's katherinehausch.com. I'm really active on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's katherine.hausch, H-O-U-S-H, .and.co, like Katherine Hausch and Company. I don't know why I made it so complicated, but that's where I let folks know like when my podcast episodes drop, and there's lots of free resources and things to download. So that's a fun place to hang out with me.
Perfect. I'll make sure to include both of those in the show notes below so that people can check out your website and definitely follow you, because again, I feel like you make a lot of this work so digestible and accessible. And so the way you share on Instagram, every time I read one of your posts, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That really resonates. And obviously that's what led me into wanting to learn from you and work with you, and highly recommend anyone who's listening to go give you a follow.
Well, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Yeah, I know. I had so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on. I would definitely love to have you back. The last question I always end on, which I feel like we've touched on this already in a few ways, so you can either answer in the same way or throw something new in, but I love people to share what one of their practices is that helps you feel most connected to yourself. So like a daily practice that's one of your non-negotiables. And again, maybe it's something you mentioned already, or maybe something new.
Yeah, for me, the biggest help in resolving any conflict is perspective. Mm. And for me, that perspective comes through connecting with a power higher than myself. So that looks different for different people. For me, that does look like God and prayer. And it takes the pressure off me having to have all the answers. And I'm able to trust the timing, let things be, and know that it'll work out for the best in due time. And that helps me so much.
If you're comfortable sharing, is your prayer practice kind of like a structured thing that you do, like certain time of day, or is it more of just kind of like ongoing conversation with God?
Yeah, I have kind of a conventional approach to prayer. Like I pray in the morning before I start my day and with my meals and before I go to bed at night. It's a lot of gratitude. It's a lot of leaving my burdens, my conflicts, if you will, there, because I'm saying my psyche doesn't know how to resolve this yet, but I'm open to answers. Yeah. And a new practice I've started recently is I write down my prayers, because I find I get less distracted and my mind doesn't wander. And in that practice, I've come back and seen how many have been answered or been resolved in due time. And I'm like, it really builds my confidence in this process.
I love that. So it makes it more tangible of like, oh, cool, this works. This whole faith thing really works.
My progress.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that, because I know it for me, at least when I got to that point of kind of building my own spiritual practice, like it was such a relief to know that I didn't have to carry it all on my own, or to not feel like I had to carry the weight of all this life thing, being a human thing, all on my own.
I don't have to have all the answers today, right now.
Yeah, or ever. Like they'll come one at a time, maybe, and we'll deal with it as it comes. It's a good feeling. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for everything you shared today and all of the work that you do. I'm so happy to be connected with you, and I'm so glad you came on the podcast.
Thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. And to everybody who's listening, if you know anyone who this topic would resonate with, please share this episode with them, because I think that this kind of knowledge needs to get into the hands of everybody. We all need to learn to have this relationship with our body that feels so empowered. So definitely spread the love, and thank you so much for listening. And as always, have a happy, healthy, and love-filled day.